Amen. Good morning, church. If you have a Bible, turn with me to the Gospel of Mark in the 10th chapter. Mark chapter 10. We're going to be looking at the scriptures together for just a few moments. What a great day for our congregation. What a great day to recognize and to appoint new servants, new ministers in this congregation, deacons. And God bless our deacons. Appointing deacons is something we must celebrate. We must thank God today because our deacons are tremendous workers and they are good examples to the whole church. And we need good examples. We need good examples of servants showing us the way and reminding us truly of who we are in Christ. Because as Christians, we are servants of our Master Jesus. And that means serving like our Master. And I think it's very easy to forget that we are servants and need to be servants first and foremost. I think it's very easy to want to be served. And given the choice, would you like to serve today or would you like to be served today? I think more often than not, I would choose to be served. And that's something that the apostles had to be taught about. As you recall, and it's recorded for us in Mark chapter 10, James and John came to Jesus. Lord, when you were sitting on your throne, give it to us to sit on the right hand and on the left. What's that mean? We don't want to be servants in this kingdom. They know good and well what it means to be servants and slaves. And so Jesus, when you're on your throne, we want to be advisors. We want to be courtiers. We want to be served. Of course, the other apostles didn't like that very much. And how is it that Jesus talked to James and John and the rest of them? Well, that's why our Bible is open to Mark 10. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 42, Jesus said, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus shocked his disciples, shocked those apostles by taking the role of the least of the household service, the lowliest job, and he washed their feet. You read about it in John 13. And in so doing, he taught them, this is greatness. This is greatness. Humble, quiet, sincere, kind service. Service, servants. Not glamorous, not popular in this world. I read a quote that I return to again and again. It kind of feeds my mind, and so I included it in the notes today. It's from a book called Celebration of Discipline. It goes like this, quote, "In some ways, we would prefer to hear Jesus call to deny father and mother, houses and land for the sake of the gospel, than his word to wash feet. Radical self-denial gives the feel of adventure. If we forsake all, we even have the chance of glorious martyrdom. But in service, we must experience the many little deaths of going beyond ourselves. Service banishes us to the mundane, the ordinary, the trivial. Oh, I'd give it all for the Lord to be a martyr. But would you serve another today? Would you humble yourself today?" You see, we all need to be reminded of this. And today we celebrate our deacons. We celebrate our servants of the congregation. Because in the church, we celebrate the things of God. And in the church, we value what God values. He values humility. He values service. He values servants. He taught us that the greatest is servant to all. And so let us all remember. Let us commit or recommit. Lord, make me a servant. That's number one in the notes. Make me a servant. And I thank JT for singing that beautiful song, leading this in this beautiful song that prepares our heart for this scripture study this morning. Make me a servant, for every Christian is a servant. Every Christian serves the Lord. We are chosen to serve. And this takes us back really to the day that we became Christians. This takes us back to our baptism when we put on Christ. For in becoming a Christian, we had turned away from idols, idolatry, false religion, and we had turned to God to serve God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9, the report is made of those Christians at Thessalonica, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. I wanted to read verse 9. How you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. We are waiting for the return of the Lord, but while we wait, what do? We serve. And we have turned aside from serving ourselves, serving the evil one, serving false religion, to serve God. What's the word for that turning? It's repentance. You repent in order to become a Christian. That day you were baptized, your sins are washed away in Christ, and you are identified with Christ. And we are taught in the book of Hebrews that we were cleansed so that we might serve God. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verses 13 through 14, there is a discussion going on between how the Levites and the priests of old were cleansed and prepared for holy service to God. And likewise, look where we are. In verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. We have turned to God. We have been cleansed so that we might serve God. And we who are baptized into Christ are new creatures in Christ, a new creation, prepared for the good works that God would have us to do. We were created to serve. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are servants. God has created you. He's created us, his church, to serve, to be about good works, those that he prepared, those that he taught, those that he modeled. We are servants. Now, if I can make a couple of lessons from this, let us appreciate this morning that all service is not public. When I think about great servants in the Bible, I cannot help but think about the little young Israelite slave girl who spoke a couple of words to Naaman's wife about the leprosy that her master Naaman suffered from. And what does she do? She says, oh, there's a prophet. Oh, he could heal the leprosy. I'll tell you that that little girl did a great service to God that day and to her master Naaman, that ultimately Naaman is cleansed of his leprosy and God is glorified. But we don't even know her name. It wasn't public. It was a short private conversation, but it was a grand service. When I think about service to God, I recall the Apostle Peter and how he is urgently called to Joppa. And you read about this in the book of Acts in the 9th chapter, where a precious sister named Tabitha had died. And as they take her to see her body laid out, laid in state, here's all the widows around her crying, weeping, holding up the tunics, holding up the garments that she had made for them, how she had taken care of them and ministered to them. Now think about that. Sewing is not some public work. She wasn't blowing trumpets in the road as she's carrying garments and other aid to these widows. But she was looking after them. She was serving. And Peter raised her from the dead. We need to remember that serving God and serving God's people, it's not limited to the preacher at the podium. It's not limited to the song leader at the big singing we have on January 14th. Mark your calendars for January 14th. I'm not taking away from the work of the preacher, the song leader, that service. I'm trying to help us get the whole picture that all service to God is not public service. I want us to understand that all service to God is not worship service. Let us have a broader view and a better understanding than that all of my Christianity happens in a church building. You're a Christian 7 days a week. Your devotion, your obedience, your service is in no way limited to the pews. God forbid that we deceive ourselves or take some false comfort that I can live in defiance of God's will 6 days a week so long as I make it to church on Sunday. Oh, I'm a servant of God because I made it to church. Have you been living for the Lord all week? It was all week. You're a Christian. You're a servant. All service is vital to the cause of Christ. Recall the parable of the talents taught us in Matthew chapter 25. And there is a one talent servant who is called a lazy and wicked servant. And it's not because he didn't have 5 talents. It's because he did not use the 1 talent that he was given. We need to be servants of God and understand that we have been prepared to do that. Make me a servant. That's our prayer. Help me find my role, my work, my opportunity to serve Christ today. And that's whether anyone ever knows about it or not. The Lord knows. Make me a servant. Secondly, servants serve. The servant's got to serve. Servants serve. Had a preacher friend of mine telling me his philosophy about the ministry of the word and working with local churches, and it was this: a preacher got to preach. Well, all right. Preacher got to preach. Servant's got to serve. And if you're going to call yourself a servant of Christ, then you had ought to be serving. And Jesus teaches us about service, about the servant's attitude in the Gospel of Luke in the 17th chapter. And I hope with your Bible you will turn with me to Luke chapter 17, for I'd love you to see the Lord's words in your own Bible. In Luke chapter 17, verse number 7. Luke 17 and verse number 7. Jesus is speaking to his disciples here, his followers, who know good and well about service, servants, even the role of slaves in that time, in that culture. And so he's able to ask them then some rhetorical questions. Luke chapter 17, verse 7. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come in once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Yes, Jesus' disciples knew all about service and even being slaves in that culture in that time. He asked them the question, would the master say, oh, you have been working so hard, you must be hot and hungry, come on in here and let's get you something to eat? Or would he say, you still have work to do, because I'm hungry? And they're like, yeah, no, they wouldn't. There's still more work to do. I'm a servant, and a servant's got to serve. Well, does the master thank the servant for doing his job? Should the servant walk around expecting a lot of attaboys from the master? Well, no. No, again, no. They're not going to expect that, because being a servant is a thankless job. But you're a servant. Servant's got to serve. So I learned five things about service. Doing it without an expectation of reward, about an expectation or even a requirement of thanks. The first is this. Number one, that the master is always the master. And the master comes first. That's in verses 7 and 8. Is the master really going to flip positions with you? Well, no. No, he's not. And so he's still the master. You serve him. Second thing I learn is you will serve until the day is done. No half-hearted service. No quitting in the middle of it. This fellow's been working in the field, and now he gets to go cook some food and do table service. Because the day's still going on. There is still more work to do. Servants serve without fanfare. Perhaps even without appreciation. Will the master thank you for doing your job? No. And so here, servants, they don't expect applause. They don't expect appreciation. They don't even expect reciprocation. You know, I served you the other day. Can you do me a solid? Can you serve me? You know, I went really out of my way to meet that need for you. Where's my thank you note? Where's my gift card? I expect a little, oh wait, I'm a servant. And I chose to serve you, which made you the master. And so I serve without expectation of return. Servants serve with humility. Not with pride. Verse 10. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. I serve the Lord. I serve the Lord. He owes me. I serve the Lord. I said, look what I've achieved for the Lord. That's not humility. That's pride. And servants serve because that is their purpose. That is their role. As verse 10 ends, what we have done was our duty to do. It was my purpose. It was why I was created. It was my function. I'm a servant, and a servant's got to serve. As a Christian, I must remind myself, I turned to God to serve. I was cleansed to serve. I am created to serve. This is my purpose. Now, as we read these words, does it sound a little harsh? Does it sound a little stern? I want you to recall two things about this picture of service. The first is this: Jesus Christ made himself servant of all. It's what we read in Mark chapter 10, that he even gave his life as a ransom for many. He made himself servant of all. And so it's when we say, well, this is a thankless job, Jesus performed thankless service. This just asks so much. Jesus gave the full measure. He humbled himself, coming in the form of a servant, coming to death and even death on the cross. It was his role. He is Messiah. He had to fulfill the will of God. He prayed, not my will, but your will be done, to the Father. And so Jesus does not teach us to do anything he did not do. He does not do. He knows all about service. Here's the second thing. Our God is a gracious master. Yes, the disciples understood quite well the way servants and masters related to one another, and so Jesus could ask these questions in Luke 17. But other things are said about our master, our great God, who is gracious. And in fact, it is unexpectedly wonderful that our God and Father, our master in heaven, he is not like the master of this story in Luke 17. In fact, he'll say more than thank you. He will give heaven to you. We look to hear words of affirmation and appreciation from our Lord. Not required, but gracious. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Oh, what a gracious master we serve. He'll give us heaven. Well, let me ask you a couple of questions, and this lesson will be yours. The first is this: where will you serve in 2023? You're a disciple, you're a servant of Jesus Christ. Where will you serve? From time to time, we like to encourage and remind one another that what we're about in this congregation is making disciples of Jesus Christ. And what is a disciple of Jesus Christ? A disciple is one who honors God, who learns from God, who loves like God, and leads others to God, all while abiding in God's Word. And we serve to help one another to grow in these ways and practice these ways. We are here for one another. And while we could dig into these aspects of our work and efforts, let me just say this morning. Wednesday night, some of the deacons, not all of them, but some of them, gave some insight and reports of some of their works. Not all the works, but some of the works. And there were these appeals. Would you come get involved in this work? Would you come help us with this work? Let me tell you this morning, to talk to a deacon or talk to elders about joining in the work of this congregation at Livingston in 2023. There is a place for you to serve, and all of it is vital. And I would encourage us individually that as you see a need or you are asked to serve for God's glory, the word goes out about every week, and rarely does a week go by that there aren't some congregational requests for prayer or some other aid. Prayer or some other aid for these young families and the mothers with the newborn. Prayer or some other aid for the bereaved and those who are mourning the loss and the passing of loved ones. Prayer or aid for the sick or those who are hospitalized. These are all opportunities to serve and to play a role. Also, we might just look out amongst ourselves to check on the elderly of our number or the homebound. There are some folks who would just love a visit or a call or someone who would listen to them for a few moments. And it is a precious, precious service. We might look to the other spectrum of the ages in the congregation and think, boy, what would it mean to surprise one of these young people and show up at their band concert or their Little League baseball game just to cheer them on and say, I know you, I care about you, and I want to serve you and I want to help you. Where will you serve in 2023? Finally, then, this morning, who will you serve in 2023? Now, I put a year on it. I'm asking about a year. But the truth is, it's a choice we make each day. Who will I serve today? Will I serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you serve the Lord Jesus Christ? It's a beautiful day here for our congregation at Livingston. I mean, it really is. To see all the deacons stand up and the new deacons and their families, it's a wonderful thing. All of these deacons, all these tremendous examples of servants and servant hearts. Let it be our prayer and our aim, Lord, make me a servant. If you want to put your Bibles away and put your notes away, Brother JT is going to come forward and lead us in a song in just a moment. We call it an invitation song because we talked about serving the Lord today. But have you chosen to serve the Lord? Are you a Christian? Have you taken those first steps of faith and obedience to the gospel to become a Christian? To turn, repent from living for selfishness or the devil or false religion to the Lord Jesus Christ. To be cleansed, coming to His gospel and obedience to His gospel as you make confession and are baptized for the remission of your sins. You are cleansed and you are prepared to go about the good works that He has made for you to do, to be a servant. Have you become a Christian? That's where it starts. If you're committed to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, become a Christian today. If we can help you by baptizing you into Jesus or ministering to you in our spiritual need, we invite you to make your desire known. Please come forward now as we stand and sing. Won't you come?